Florida has a little more than 13 million registered voters. Former state lawmaker Nancy Argenziano says it speaks volumes that more than 3.5 million of them are registered with minor parties or with no party affiliation. That's why she's returning to the campaign trail as a third-party candidate.
They left those two parties for a reason, and the democratic process, we shouldn't be scared of that. It's time. I've never seen a time in history when the people who have left the two major parties are growing so fast, so rapidly, and I think they deserve an alternative.
Argenziano served in the Florida House and Senate. She was appointed to the Florida Public Service Commission, then left that job and the Republican Party. She became a Democrat, then launched an unsuccessful bid for Congress in 2012 as an independent. She says she doesn't want the extremes of either party.
There's a whole batch of people out there who feel disenfranchised from both parties. They're perceiving as one side is so far to the left, the other is so far bat crazy to the right that they're afraid. And they need representation, too.
Argenziano is now with the Reform Party, running as lieutenant governor with gubernatorial candidate Darcy Richardson. She calls her ticket the middle-of-the-road alternative. It'll be an uphill battle, says Gregory Koger, political science professor at the University of Miami.
So there's a lot of political science research going back for decades that it's almost impossible for a third-party candidate to enter a race and win on a regular basis. It's just the nature of our electoral system, where the person who gets the most votes wins and there's only one office, by its structure, rewards two parties in the long run. It is possible for a third-party candidate to get into the race and sort of mess up the outcome by siphoning away votes from one of the two major candidates. And in that way, it might influence results, but it would be difficult for that person to actually win.
How do these candidates compare to other election years? Do you think that maybe they're more right or more left than usual, or is this pretty normal?
So I think for the Republican Party, it's a continuation of existing trends. For the Democratic Party, it is an interesting choice. I mean, the Florida Democrats, for a lot of statewide races, had nominated more moderate, middle-of-the-road candidates in the past. Andrew Gillum represents, just a much more progressive brand of policy. On top of that, he's a relatively young candidate and has, I think, successfully energized a lot of voters who would otherwise not be as interested in voting in Florida's primary elections.
So in situations where the middle-of-the-road candidate isn't evident or isn't there, are moderate voters inclined to simply not choose a candidate, or do you think they might go for a third-party candidate?
For people who are, sort of dedicated voters but have moderate policy views, I think they're going to have to decide which of the two major candidates they are closest to, which direction they want to see for the state of Florida.
So historically, it's tough for third parties, but why haven't we seen a rise in a third party? What would it take to have literally a third party that is a contender?
You would need a great candidate, right? Somebody who's probably well known. And then you need a lot of money, right? Because it takes money to run a national campaign. And if the candidate doesn't have his or her own money, then you need a lot of donors who are willing to basically spend money on a third party candidate. And that's a huge stopping point, because anybody who wants to actually seriously affect the outcomes of the election or change policy, it's unlikely to want to invest their money in a candidate who is almost certain to lose. And then last, you need voters who see that there are two major party candidates. They're familiar with the two major parties. Most of them have loyalties to one part or the other that, at the end of the day, are very hard to shake.
Does anything stand out to you about this particular governor's race?
Two things. On the Republican side, the extent to which DeSantis has identified himself with a president who polls nationally at about 40% and is making the race a referendum on Donald Trump, therefore. And then on the Democratic side, Andrew Gillum is an African-American candidate, relatively young and relatively progressive. And that's a new type of candidate being nominated in a southern state. And so the obvious comparison is to Georgia, where there's also a relatively younger African-American female nominated for governor there. And so it's very interesting to see where those two elections go, and whether it speaks to a different direction for the Democratic Party, that when they're trying to win these southern states, they're going to be forthrightly progressive and nominate members of minority groups in the United States and make that the forefront of their party.
That was University of Miami political science professor Gregory Koger. He expects the Democrats will benefit from unaffiliated voters who don't have a clear choice on the ballot and will want to vote against the party in power. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Gina Jordan.